every day for the next 4 weeks. We are focusing on a different NFL team to get you set for the season, chat a little fantasy, a little betting. Mostly it's just team previews. And today we started off with one of the more interesting teams in football. I'm going to tell you right now, this conversation probably be a little more interesting than when we're talking about, say, the Jaguars. From Locked On Ravens podcast and the managing editor for RavensWire.com for USA Today, Kevin Ostreicher is on the line. Kevin, thanks so much for joining the show.
Yeah, guys, thanks so much for having me. I'm honored to be the first one. It's been a busy day over here in Baltimore with all the news that's come out so far.
Oh, yeah. Well, the biggest news is that your kicker has now been locked up for 4 more years?
You know, it would have been. That was great news. But actually, the Ravens just activated J.K. Dobbins with the physically able to perform missing sack on the practice field today, which is big news. He was one of those players who tore his ACL right before the season started, and there was a ton of excitement around him right now.
All right, you know what? Let's go there. We're going to get to all things Lamar Jackson. I'm sure you're a little Lamar Jackson doubt. But is it fair to say that the Ravens season would have ended differently? I guess the Jackson injury is part of this, but just with J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. I mean, just the Ravens last year just got decimated at the running back position.
Yeah, it is definitely fair, and it goes beyond the running back position. But just to clarify on the running backs, I mean, there was so much excitement surrounding J.K. Dobbins in particular, also Gus Edwards, who had been improving every single season. But Dobbins, during his rookie year, averaged the most yards per carry out of any running back in the league with 6. He was actually 3rd in the league in yards per carry behind his teammate Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray. So you're looking there, and the injury is just devastating. But the thing was, it didn't happen like a month before the regular season or 2 months. It happened like 10 days before the season was supposed to start. So they had to go out there. They signed Devonta Freeman. They signed Le'Veon Bell, Latavius Murray. And there was a lot of a learning curve. These guys had to pick up the mesh point with Lamar Jackson, one of those things. And the offense just was not the same. Now, you mentioned the Jackson injury. That obviously had a key part in their 6-game losing streak to end the season. Really, ever since the Miami game in Week 10, that was really the beginning of the end, it seemed like. Because this Ravens team, I want to give them a ton of credit. John Harbaugh and all those guys, they had this team, injuries and all, at 8-3 through 12 weeks, the top seed in the AFC. So with these injured guys coming back, hopefully we'll see more of J.K. Dobbins' return, such as Ronnie Stanley, Marcus Peters, Gus Edwards, etc. I think this team has a ton of potential next year.
Well, the way you could see that is on FanDuel, I was looking at the over-under win totals for every team. Only the Buffalo Bills and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a higher win projected win total than the Ravens. And I think it's fair to ask, Kevin, the team went 0-4 down the stretch when Lamar Jackson was out for the season. If Jackson is healthy and one of the running backs are healthy, there's a chance it could have been Baltimore that had gone to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the fact that the Ravens had stayed afloat for that long, and obviously the Jackson injury kind of was the bow in terms of they're probably not making the playoffs, but the fact that they went through a week one loss to the Las Vegas Raiders, they bounced back, they beat Kansas City in week two, who they hadn't beaten in Lamar Jackson's tenure as a starting quarterback there. That was his first win against Patrick Mahomes and company. That kind of gave you a little bit of, oh, okay, this team could be something special. The Detroit game, the Justin Tucker 66-yarder. There were so many moments early on. I mean, Lamar Jackson was in the MVP conversation through the first 5-6 weeks of the year before the first Cincinnati game where the Ravens did get blown out by them. But I think that if they had one or two less major injuries, they could have definitely made a spot in the playoffs. And it all comes down to health, really, in the NFL. We saw teams like the Bengals and the Rams, the two representatives in the Super Bowl, be relatively healthy throughout the year. When the Ravens were 14-2 in 2019, they were relatively healthy. So I think that this team this year, there is the potential, but it does rely on the health of their guys. And if they can stay healthy, the Ravens have taken steps throughout training camp. They've moved practices from mornings to afternoons to try to get the players in the building a little more, to get some more work in before practice. They've been trying so many different things to get the injuries down this year, and I think their effort is really, it's applauded by me because they understand what the problem was. They're trying to fix it right now.
Yeah, and then also Marcus Peters as well at the cornerback position, another important piece that was injured last year. From Locked On Ravens podcast, it is Kevin Ostreicher. All right, Kevin, let's get to it. The Lamar Jackson conversation. And let's start here because we all understand there's some of the criticism that's been unwarranted. Sometimes that's just for clickbait, and it's always more interesting to go, Lamar Jackson, Yeah, he won the MVP, but it'll never be great because it just gets people angry and confused. But let's go here. How much criticism is warranted? How much of the criticism of Lamar Jackson is justified?
Well, some of it is, and I'm not going to sit here and say that Lamar Jackson is a perfect player, that he is, you know, the best quarterback of all time. He still has some growing to do. Now, we've seen him grow in a bunch of different areas. I can go back to last year where, and this wasn't all his fault, I want to say the offensive line played a part in this, but
yes.
His decision-making down the stretch was not as sharp as I had seen it in recent years. Now, I talk about the offensive line because Ronnie Stanley missed the entire year outside of one game last year. The right tackle situation, they were kind of rotating guys in and out. By the end of the year, by the end of Lamar Jackson's season, he was running around for his life on every single play, and that did lead to some sped-up clocks and sped-up decision-making. And there's a ton that goes into it, but there were some decisions. I mean, Lamar Jackson had four interceptions against Cleveland very late in that year, and the Ravens still won the game, which is incredible. But he had four interceptions. Some of those were his own fault. Others were not. So I'm anticipating an uptick in decision-making from him where, you know, in some instances, look, he is a quarterback. He is a great quarterback. He wants to throw the football, and he's a good thrower of the football as well, but sometimes he will tuck the ball and run when he has a wide-open throwing lane. Sometimes he will throw the ball when he has a wide-open running lane. So some of those things, you know, you give and you take. But at the same time, I think that all the criticism that he gets, not all of it is warranted and justified whatsoever, because you're right, there is the Lamar Jackson effect on the field. I think there's that Lamar Jackson effect off of the field, too, where people are just so almost stuck in their ways, it seems like, from maybe his college days, where, look, he was very raw as a passer coming out of college. He has improved upon that, and I do want to give him credit for that, but I still think he has room to improve, which in a way, I mean, makes it kind of a scary thought for other teams based off of the improvement that he can make.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Ronnie Stanley healthy, running backs healthy. That in and of itself is going to make him better. I think for me, my concerns are the stereotypical ones. Or to me, the legitimate ones. One, health, even though he's big. Like, you can't do the RG3 thing. We were talking about it earlier because he's much bigger. I think he's now like 230 pounds. But the other one is just he hasn't performed. His numbers go down. Even though sometimes the yardage is high, in the playoffs, he has not looked like the same guy he was in the regular season. That's my only, you know, that's my criticism of him, but I'd still take him over, say, like a Dak Prescott, but that to me is my criticism of Lamar Jackson.
And I think the health for any quarterback is definitely a valid concern.
Yeah.
And I know when you're looking at Lamar Jackson's play style, some people look at it and say, well, you know, the more he runs, the more hits he takes, you know, the less sustainable. But I don't see it that way specifically. I'll give the examples. When Lamar Jackson has gotten injured, the couple times he's gotten injured, he hasn't even missed a lot of games. The ankle thing that he had was his first real major injury, the bone bruise that he had. But he got injured on that play because his offensive line couldn't block, and he was running out of the pocket and trying to find someone to throw the ball to and threw the ball away and then kind of got tripped up. The play that he got injured in Buffalo during that 2021 playoff game is because his center snapped the ball over his head. He had to run back, threw the ball away, and then he smashed his head on the ground. So, look, I mean, the actual facts of everything is, look, the more hits you take, the more risk there is for injury. But I will say that Lamar Jackson has most definitely improved his awareness in terms of his body. His rookie year, I think he took a lot of unnecessary hits where he was fighting for that extra yard or two instead of maybe getting out of bounds and took some shots because of it. But he has much more, I think, body awareness, and he's done that ever since his second year on. So, look, he hasn't gotten injured a ton. It's not as much of a concern for me, but this is football. I mean, injuries can happen at any time with any different player. So that's where I am on that. And I think for him, he's a guy that has shown good health, and that's kind of where I'll ride out with this track record right now.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's more about projecting ahead. It just makes you nervous. But, no, you're right. I mean, if you just look at the amount of games played, he's played in a ton. We're just waiting for that real signature playoff moment. How do they replace Marquise Brown? Is this as simple as Rashad Bateman and Devon DuVernay? What is it looking like now in training camp in terms of the receivers?
Yeah, they're going in-house. It seems like they brought in a lot of undrafted rookies who it seems like they're going to rely on, but they have almost like a big four of guys. Rashad Bateman, their first-round pick in 2021, is the new number one now. You mentioned Devon DuVernay. He's, I guess, right now on the depth chart number two, but you also have James Prochet, who's looked strong. Tylan Wallace, who was a fourth-round pick last year. But it seems like the Ravens are going more towards the 2019 offense. Now, they probably won't go completely back to that. I think this is going to be much more of a balanced offense than what we saw in 2019, but definitely still a run-first team. So at this stage, I predict the Ravens will keep four running backs. I predict they will keep four tight ends. That leaves five wide receivers for me. So I think that spot, whether they want to bring in a veteran player, Julio Jones, now off the market. So you're looking at guys more along the lines of Will Fuller, T.Y. Hilton. But I don't know if those are necessarily needle movers at this point. Odell Beckham Jr. is another one that's popped up with his ACL injury. There's a lot of unknowns there. But there have been some undrafted guys who have been turning heads in practice. Jalen Moore has looked good. Shamar Bridges. And also you look at Slade Bolden. Jalen Moore's been around the team for a little bit. But Bridges and Bolden, two guys who were undrafted for them. So they're going in-house. They're confident. They didn't sign a veteran. They didn't draft anybody after trading away Marquise Brown. The Marquise Brown, you know, loss is a big one. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but I think they can respond to that and bounce back. They just have to hope that their second and third-year guys can take a leap here.
Before we let you go, and by the way, appreciate you joining the show, and you can check out his work again, Locked On Ravens podcast, and go to ravenswire.com. Kevin, over under 10.5 wins. Where, as of today, where would you lean?
I'm smashing the over on that. I think that the Ravens, an underrated part of their year this year is the fact that they play a last place schedule. They finished last in the AFC North in 2020. A part in that, but they finished with the same record as the Browns, but tiebreakers kind of flipped everything around. So I think for the Ravens, they will be playing teams, and obviously you can never count out a team, even if they're, you know, a last-place team in the NFL. But their schedule is significantly easier than what we saw from them last year. I think with the guys they are getting back, they had a great free agency period. They had a good draft as well. I think that this is a team positioned to make a run at the AFC North crown. Right now, I have them winning the AFC North crown literally by a tiebreaker with Cincinnati. I have them at 13-4. Now, that can obviously change in either direction as the offseason goes on, the preseason and whatnot. But I think this will be a two-team race between Baltimore and Cincinnati, a very close one at that, a very talented division. But I think the Ravens, I'm smashing that over, definitely, and I have 13 right now.
One guy in fantasy, you would tell people, hey, put this Baltimore Raven player a little bit higher than what everyone else is projecting.
I know the obvious answer is Lamar Jackson. I'll give you a different one, though. I think for me it's Rashad Bateman, 100%. I know people look at the Ravens and think this is a run offense. Receivers aren't going to do well in it. But the Ravens have shown that they are committed to both running and throwing the football. Lamar Jackson, again, I talked about that improvement as a passer. And what we've seen so far from Rashad Bateman in training camp, he has clearly developed a rapport with Lamar Jackson, and they have been on the same page for the entirety of camp. So I'm predicting a big year from Rashad Bateman. I'm trying to get him in all my fantasy leagues. Some people are more willing to give him to me than others, but I think that for me, Bateman's my guy.
Kevin, really appreciate. Thanks so much for joining the show. It is our part one of 32 of our NFL team preview. We're trying to go through each and every team between now and the start of the season, get people ready for either bets, fantasy, and everything in between, or just yammering about football. So I appreciate you joining.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm honored to be the first one. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you. That is really appreciate you joining the show today.